happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I'm here today with Corey Joe Biddle. I had to let that whole intro play out. It felt like just like, it's like when you like hold hands. Have you ever noticed that, at least as straight women, if you hold hands with a man like the opposite way, like for you, so if your hand's on top and mm-hmm. you're walking, mm-hmm. how like icky it feels? I learned that in my sociology 101 class. Like we all did it and it was like, oh God, this does not feel right.
You know, I had a science class where they told us to fold our hands together the natural way that you would do it, and then do the opposite thumb on top, and it does feel
weird. So yeah, that's how it felt. I couldn't cut off Al Green too soon and felt icky. Okay, so speaking of, I've bookmarked this article at the beginning of July. So as we said, this month has flown by, and I haven't brought it up on the show yet, and now is a perfect time to bring it up with you because this is some of the work that MMAC is doing. But Rico Torres, who writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, had an article earlier this month, and it was headlined, A Paradigm Shift. Companies wrestle with implementing diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, while others grow with the change. And I think we've talked about this before. I think the first, shout out to Eric Kennedy, the first time we were all at dinner together, I remember having conversations around what is the real work of companies who immediately in the wake of George Floyd's murder wanted to start these initiatives, and what did that look like, and what was superficial and what was real. And it was interesting because in that article, granted 260 area businesses were surveyed, and 9% of the businesses say they have a DEI embedded in their culture, and 14 said that they have a formal DEI initiative. So that equates to be about 23 and 36 companies. So then, but like 42% had not, which I thought was interesting. Does that surprise you for this area?
It doesn't.
Really?
No, it doesn't. I think there's companies that have more sophisticated DEI efforts, but everybody has been stepping up their game since it's become more of a common topic. I think for larger organizations, DEI was required just because of the mass and number of people in the organization, and some effort towards just attracting and retaining talent that is becoming increasingly diverse. So the business perspective of it is that our population is changing. I mean, it's just more diverse. Generation Y, Generation Z. Color-wise, it's just more black and brown. And that's what your top talent is going to look like if you run a business. And if you haven't created an environment where black and brown people feel comfortable and want to work, then there's a challenge for you to hire the kinds of talent that you want at the level that you want. So that's the, you know, bottom line business case why companies are starting to think about it. When George,
not just because it's the right thing to do,
you know, it's
like there's obviously no, I mean, which makes sense, and like that's often how things end up changing because there is a bottom line.
And I mean, people that work in this space will know, prior to George Floyd, you know, many diversity conferences, summits, conversations, workshops, you had to start. I mean, there would be workshops called The Business Case for Diversity. It was 100% talked about from the vantage point of what is good for the business and the bottom line. There was not as much tolerance as there is now for conversations around what is right, and are we creating a culture where everyone can show up and be their authentic self. And that the fact that there's value in that, just because the culture you create and the environment you create for people, how you make people feel when they come to work, matters. Now, the positive side effect of that is that more diverse teams are more productive and more diverse environments have better sales and customer outcomes. I mean, it really is the truth. As our world is becoming more diverse, you can't have teams of, you know, all one kind of person creating products and services for an increasingly diverse world. It's just changing. So I think in the past, again, it was that idea that, you know, we'll deal with it if it becomes a problem or there's a business case for it or we don't have time for DEI or we don't have a problem here. We don't have a diversity issue here, which, you know, we've done our surveys at MMAC, which showed, especially in Milwaukee, and it's not just Milwaukee, but especially in Milwaukee, yeah, lots of companies do have a culture issue, and there are lots of folks who don't feel like they can come to work and be their full self, which hinders their ability to, you know, operate at the highest skill level, their highest confidence. They are not coming in there, you know. That's partly, too, why a lot of people of color choose remote work. Because it removes you from this environment where you can't be yourself, or if you raise the question of diversity and inclusion, lots of eyes will roll. I mean, there'll be people that'll listen to me talking about this now and say, ugh, again, you know, and I'm just used to it. It's changing now. More and more people who aren't of color are wanting to have this conversation and understand that it has been a problem. And you have to make yourself super conscious and mindful of all the mechanisms and things that were put in place without everyone in mind. So we're building these organizations without everyone in mind. So when new people come into the structure and it doesn't work and it doesn't fit, you know, then it's irritating to people. But that's changing a lot. That's why I'm not surprised that there's 50% of these companies that have not ever installed anything around DEI, but it's changing now.
Because MAC has, I didn't even know about this until we talked about it yesterday, you have a big initiative and that started in 2019 called Region of Choice. And that is, I mean, there seems like there's multi-prongs to it, but one of which is hiring more Black and Brown managers, hiring more Black and Brown people and company. You can explain it more than this, but basically companies pledging to help hit these goals.
Yeah, so it started with the MAC's board, and which is largely, you know, CEOs of many of the top companies in our region. We asked them what are some of the barriers to growing and improving, you know, the business that you have here, and diversity and racial disparity and segregation were some of the, like, the top issues that came.
So CEOs self-selected. This is a problem for us.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because they are having the challenge of recruiting the numbers of people they need and the kind of talent they need. And so, like, there's so many people that aren't making it into the pipeline, people of color who aren't making it into the pipeline because of their elementary education or because of their economic status or because transportation makes it hard for them. There's so many issues that are related to race, which is, it's nuanced in Milwaukee and the Milwaukee region because we're so segregated. Mm-hmm. So where you live and your color are often, you know, they correlate in a way that they don't in some other city. So we created the Region of Choice initiative in the first prong. There's three prongs now, but the first prong was really around representation, because when we looked at the disparities, the racial disparities, it all ties back to economics. Mm-hmm. And that starts from the time that a child is born all the way into the grave. Every step along the way, there's these disparities around how much people make and the wealth they're able to acquire, educational attainment that's accessible to them, resources, health, everything all tied back to wealth and finances. So the got to start somewhere. The solution for us was let's start by trying to close that wealth gap. And one of the ways that we could do it is really look at how companies are promoting their talent. So once you get to the manager level, you're on track for executive suite, higher, you know, and moving up. We asked companies to look at their managers and their overall population of workers. And were they promoting Black and Brown talent at the same rate that they were their white talent? And as a community as a whole, we weren't. I mean, we're like
big reveal,
huge huge because we saw the numbers and people were able to like kind of look at it. It's different here in the narrative and kind of knowing, oh, we're segregated. But once you have to actually look at your own
people,
your own people, and look at your own numbers, we asked them to sign a pledge to really rework the way that they're looking at diversity, inclusion in their cultures, and then take a look at how promotions happen in companies and really keep an eye out for areas where bias, in many cases unintended, is stopping Black and brown people from rising to the level of manager and beyond.
And how do you, I want to make sure I phrase this correctly, because how do you, as a company, the education or the self-awareness of walking the line between removing your own bias so that deserving people get promoted and tokenism and people like the affirmative action of like, oh, they only got this job because they were filling a quota and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And so because those two things are very different.
Yep.
But if you just put in black and white numbers, how can you tell the difference? And so is this something that you have to be coached on, or like how is that mental shift happen to be able to know the difference between those two things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the work of, you'll hear people more talking about culture, and we asked our talent, do you feel like your company's existing DEI initiatives are true initiatives that are going to create more equity, or is it just checking a box because it's different and people feel that difference? Mm-hmm. When we started this 2 years ago, a lot of people said this is just checking a box. They just have a department that says DEI, but they're not, you know, they're placing a couple, you know, people of color here and there, but there's no real change in equity in the system. So I think the language that you're hearing come from human resource departments and in companies is changing. We're talking a lot more about culture and a lot more about systems and processes. And when you look at the numbers and really look at your processes, and a leader, the CEO, is the person that sets the tone for this, and then everybody, all the leadership, sets the tone for, we are going in and looking at our processes to remove bias and increase equity. This is about making this fair for everyone. So that kind of sets the tone that we're not going to, you know, waste time arguing about whether or not somebody is a token or not. That's a lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted time, and it keeps us from really dealing with the real issue. Mm-hmm. And that's why people go in that direction, because they don't want to face what it really is.
Yeah.
But these metrics don't lie, and companies are finding that in their hiring process. I mean, all the way from, you know, if you get a resume with a name that is a cultural or black sounding or whatever name, much less likely for that resume to make it to interview stage. They've done studies and tested this where it's the exact same resume with a classic white American sounding name and a black sounding name. And it is proven over and over and over again that the black sounding name is much less likely. It's like it's 70% less likely to get an interview. There's things that are just happening that people are making decisions, knee-jerk reactions, and I'm not, you know, you don't have to put on a hood and be from the KKK to be making these decisions. This is stuff that people do every day without even realizing that they're doing it. We make assumptions based on what we've seen in the media, based on what we read, based on what we heard somebody say, and this creates what you think about a culture, and a lot of time it has nothing to do with your actual experience and interaction with people of that culture, especially in Milwaukee, because there's so little of the personal interaction racially. You don't really hang out with people who don't look like you for the most part. So we're creating a lot of bias that shows up in our humanness, and it shows up in the processes because humans create the process in the way that we interview, in our interview panels, and some of the questions that we ask, and it shows up in every element. So the companies now are looking at interview all the way through. How are we promoting? And think about this. People promote based on who they know, and they recommend who they like.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all about proximity and who you surround yourself with. And most likely you're going to be around people who are like you, who you feel some kind of kinship with. And this is not an indictment on anyone. This is human nature.
Yeah.
But we gotta disrupt it.
Absolutely. Well, when we come, we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, there's another lack of diversity, we'll say. All right, As Goes Wisconsin, this is Kristen Bry.